Let's pray.
Father, we do thank you that we have an anchor. It's not made out of metal, not made out of something heavy, as we would call something heavy. It's a person, and that person is Christ, and we thank you for that. Thank you that we can, as our bulletin says, we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us to be friends of God. What a statement. Friends of God. While we were enemies, wow, that's totally changed. Now we're friends. Thank you for that deep friendship. Somehow guide us into even a greater appreciation of that friendship this morning as we look into your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. The encounter with new. But first, some old. Really old. There's quite a few of us in here connected to a There will be no laughing, Fred. There are quite a few of us in this room, and some are even missing, Dave and Laura, that are connected with a place called Puraquequara, down on the banks of the Amazon, where I grew up. Do you recognize anybody in this picture? The man who gave the helicopter report, he's in here. Can you find him? I've got one person's attention. Good job. That's really good. Thank you. Audrey, are you in this picture?
Yeah.
Are you in this, Cheryl? Actually, I don't recognize some of these people.
You need to get glasses.
Harold Davis is in this picture. John Sharp is in this picture. Bing Hare is in this picture. Jim Ketchum is in this picture. Okay. Jimmy Curtis. Yeah, Lois Davis. And I think that's Jan Bartlett back there in the middle. Jan Friedel. Okay. Recognize anybody in this picture? With the glasses. And is that's you, Dr. Steve Smith, isn't it? Steve Smith is in here, and a bunch more. Really old. Okay? Okay, after that, now we're going to do a societal check. And I believe this check has been made here at Sanford Bible before, so we're going to recheck. Okay? But now I am determined, it says in Zechariah 8:15-17, but now I am determined to bless Jerusalem and the people of Judah. So, don't be afraid. I find the verbiage here quite interesting. Okay, I'm going to bless you, but don't be afraid. Like, oh yeah, we're really afraid of blessing. I'm not sure what's going on there. In their worldview, but it's quite interesting, isn't it? I'm going to bless you, but don't be afraid. But this is what you must do, okay? Let's go down the list. God is determined to bless Jerusalem and the people of Judah. Don't be afraid. This is what you must do. This is your part. Tell the truth to each other. Render verdicts in your courts that are just. Render verdicts that lead to peace. Don't scheme against each other. Stop your love of telling lies that you swear are the truth. I hate all these things, says the Lord. And so we asked Stephen to go get that big container because all the blessings are going to come pouring down. What's our chance of blessing in our society? Okay? Well, as many of you know, my folks worked in Brazil for many years. Many of you knew them. It's also interesting to look back at the things God used to get them there. Mom was the daughter of a welder, a solderer, who was a professional solderer before the days of riveting airplanes together. He was involved in soldering them. And then she came from a broken family. She was the only child. And then my dad was a farm boy from Iowa. Didn't enjoy speaking. As I always say, he was such an introvert, he had a hard time leading in silent prayer. But because he was a farm boy, Psalms 23 was greatly appreciated by him. And let's branch out from farming. Let's in Iowa, soybeans and corn. Let's go into raising some kind of animals. And so he tried this thing with being fond of Psalms 23. He tried this thing with sheep, but something went wrong. He didn't really try the sheep thing. But I like the look on that sheepdog's face. Like, what happened to you? And so, David as a sheep says, he leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. Bernie's sheep say, my dad's name was Bernie. His sheep say, he makes me to go through the dip and I shrinketh. Well, one thing led to another with my parents. And soon Dad and Mom found themselves out in Fault Springs, back in the early days of the New Tribes where the training was. But then when they were there, then of course you got the challenge. Okay, which field that many of us have been through, which field am I going to go to? Okay? Which field am I going to go to? And missionaries would come through Fault Springs, and some of them were well supported, which means they had a camera. They could take pictures, slides, they could get them developed, okay? And they had slide projectors with an extra bowl, okay? Okay, so this couple comes through from New Guinea, and they show this slide. And so the tug to Brazil became stronger. And then they showed another slide. And the tug to Brazil became final. That's how they ended up at Puraquequara, den of the electric eel. Quara being Guarani. My father-in-law was in Paraguay. He knew Guarani. And Quara means like the den of, the home of, the dwelling place of, and a Puraque is an electric eel. That's where we grew up. Saw a few of them, never got zapped. So, it's kind of been fun for me reviewing some of the history from Puraquequara. Okay, but now we're going to do another kind of review. You ready? We're going to review the first two chapters of Genesis. How does chapter 2 end? Come on, class. How does Genesis chapter 2 end? It kind of ended up like this. Adam and Eve didn't have any clothes on. And they were unashamed. Okay? So take that, go back to this beginning of Genesis. In the beginning, God created. That's our body of truth for this review. Are you with me? Okay, I know somebody back there was paying attention, so they're going to help me out. Okay, are we ready? Based upon that body of truth, how do we know that God is all powerful? Look around. What do you see? Creation. Incredible, isn't it? And how many times do we look at that and miss the God who created it? The all-powerful God who created it. I mean, I was just sitting out in my carport yesterday looking at the clouds. Man, there's gray and there's orange and there's dark gray and there's light gray. And I mean, just incredible. Like, how did he do that? How does God do that? Because he's all-powerful. And we're going to get into some of the things with the ethnic group that we work with in Paraguay and Bolivia, the Ayuré. But it's interesting. We learn by story, don't we? You see, where you're hanging your conviction of God's all-powerfulness on a story. And that's very valuable. It's not a bullet point. Nothing wrong with bullet points, but we forget them so quickly. Okay, so look at creation. Look at that landscape. Oh, yeah, I'm sure some weakling could make that by talking. It's not going to happen. How do we know God is all-knowing? You try to make one of them. How many hearts do they have? How many hearts does an octopus have? I'm not even going to tell you. You've got to go Google it. Because I might tell you wrong. No, they got more than one. Unbelievable. You're getting close. Okay. Look at how do you make something like that? That lives underwater. If you don't know some stuff. But God is no more. He knew how to do that. And it didn't take him long. Unbelievable. What about this? What are those?
Oranges.
Oranges. How did God know how to make oranges? Because he knows everything. And you know what? He knew how to create you so you could enjoy that. You have taste buds. You can tell if they're sweet, if they're sour. Yeah. God knew how to do that because he's all-knowing. What's this? A flower. More specifically, a lily. And the Bible says the richest man that ever lived on the face of the earth wasn't even as adorned as these. Not even close. Look at the intricacy of that lily. And you could take any flower, you know. How did God know how to do that? It is absolutely beautiful. What makes those little things come up, you know, and the coloring? How did God know how to do that? Because, okay, you raised your hand. But what?
He knows everything.
God knows everything. You are right. Good for you. God knows everything. He knew how to do that. Okay? How do we know God is everywhere? Again, we're still Genesis chapter 2, 1 and 2. How do we know God is everywhere? He was up there to put that there. He was up there to keep it there. He knew how to do it. Amazing, isn't it?
That is the moon.
That, you are so right. That is the moon. That's God's up there. He keeps it there. And he's even farther away than the moon. He's way out there. How could God put stuff way out there? And we're just kind of, I guess we're, you know, with all of our telescopes up in space and all, we can see farther and farther out into the, well, it's darkness, I guess, or wherever. And I think we're just starting to scratch the surface. God is everywhere. He's way up there in the stars. He put him up there. He can keep him there. Okay? So we know that God is everywhere. How do we know that God is good? In the first two chapters of Genesis. Everything is good. Look at that. Isn't that beautiful? And God's, you're sitting there on the beach, regretting that it cost you $20 to get on there. Unless you buy a season pass. And you think, you look out there and you think, wow, God is so good. And he created you with the eyes to see it. And with intelligence to recognize if it's beautiful or ugly or somewhere in between. Amazing. And that's just the first two chapters of Genesis. Okay? What did it say in the creation? After God had finished, he looked at it and he said it was very good. Very good. Good was the other times, but then when he's kind of done, he puts a, at least our translation puts a very good in there. God is very, very good. Amazing. This picture didn't mean a lot to one iota person, an old lady. We see a lion and a lamb in there. What's that speak to us of? She asks a question, oh, what are those two mice doing in the grass? Yeah, I got to teach them to interpret pictures even. Anyways, how do we know God, again, the first few chapters of Genesis, how do we know God created Adam with great intelligence? Yeah, you come up with a name for something like that and see how you do. Yeah, you think some dummy's going to come up with a name for something like that? Incredibly intelligent. And, I mean, if 24-hour days, and they named all the animals. I don't know how many there were back then. And you think that was hard? Try this fella. The nose. What about these things? Boreri. A taper, anta. Okay? And I even have some taper height shoes in here. Did you know you could make shoes out of taper skin? Did you know that? Here they are. I'll show you a picture of this to give you an idea how you put them on. That's taper height.
Wow.
Pretty thick.
Yeah.
These were never worn, but the IUDs like taper height shoes. Because every now and then it did get wet in the Chaco. In the Chaco, when you say you had a 2-inch rain, it means there's 2 inches between the drops. Didn't get very much rain. I learned that from Dean's dad, Bob Cutter Sr. Anyways. And so when they get wet, then they come a little bit soft, and then your toes will actually shape where they go, so they're quite comfortable. But the Chaco is full of thorns. And so the trouble with these is then the thorns, when they get soft, the thorns would go through them. So they also had a wooden pair. They also had a pair made out of wood. Same idea, you put them on the same way, made out of wood. And then the stickers wouldn't go through. So you usually carry those in your little IUDA bag. And then came in the Chaco War. In between the First World War and the Second World War, there was a big war between those countries, between Paraguay and Bolivia. And then Bolivians, you're trying to take away our land. What do you think of that, Anna?
No, you better take away our land.
Oh my goodness. We should have taken more. But with that came trucks. And with trucks came tires. And with war trucks, they break down. Well, the IUDs figured out how to get the rubber out, you know, we get the rubber, and they made all weather shoes. They didn't have to carry the wooden ones and the taper height ones, they had the rubber ones. And if these are all too big, I even brought a little pair. Yeah, for Junior. A little dinky pair of shoes, okay? Okay, we got that? Put those shoes on. We're going to put ourselves in their shoes. We're going to put ourselves in the shoes of the IUDA and try to look at things the way they might see them. Broad strokes. We're not going to go into great detail. We're going to broad stroke and we're going to go in no specific order except for what the order the PowerPoint has. I got to kind of stick to that, Gene, so just get over it. Okay, so here we go. By your presence, coming into the Ayurés, especially early on in Bolivia, the first work the new tribes had with the Ayurés, okay, what your very presence there does to them, things change. And so that's why we say the encounter with new. The Ayurés are going to encounter many new things, and you folks that have worked with tribal people and other people, even here within our own country, you can see how This would be true of many of your own experiences. Okay, change is hard. One of the hardest things there is change. But our presence with the IUDS, that's what it brings, doesn't it? It brings change. We know why we're there. The IUDS don't. The map to your life is being has changed when you go to a foreign country, but you know what? The map to the life of the IUDS is also going to be changed because they have new community members. They invite Rob and Cheryl, Kedron and Kirsten into their community, and we joined an existing work. It wasn't brand new. There were already folks there. It was about 8 years old there in Paraguay. And they have new kids. You can take these old cracked water jugs and turn them into race cars. They actually kind of go for, anyways. Kirsten, our daughter, became grandchild to many of the elderly fellas. This guy's name was Toide, dead man's dad. Quite an interesting fella. Very poetic. When he was in church and he'd pray, I mean, it was just so silent because nobody wanted to miss a word. The way he could put words together was amazing. He had scars on his sides from being in the woods that these IUDs would fight against each other. And he grabbed one enemy guy like this, another IUD grabbed him like this, didn't get him quite tight enough, and the guy had a spear in his hand, so he's poking. He had scars in his sides here from being poked by that, but eventually somebody came and killed the guy that was in his arms. Anyways, he's now grandpa to Kirsten, our daughter. They even sang together. Tom, you'd have been proud of him. Kirsten couldn't play the guitar. If you can't tell her, but Toyda's got the songbook upside down. They sing away. Even drink tetadere. This, in this case, it would be mate because it's hot water with grandpa. Another grandpa, Wangahine. So they had new community members. They also have new economic pictures, new economic structure. How's the shoes fit? Those Ayurveda shoes you put on? You're going through some economic changes. Remember when Paul, with the silver shrine makers there in Acts? Demetrius wasn't too happy about all that, was he? And there's going to be a new economic structure for the IUDs because you're there. They had no money, knew nothing about money, but now they're learning to work. And of course, our Paraguayan government is wanting us to make sure that they become useful citizens, contributing citizens to the country of Paraguay. They don't care about much else. So they're going to be entering a new economic structure. There's a new political order. There's a new political order. And who's going to resist the changes that are coming? If your shoes are getting loose, your IUD shoes, tighten them up. Who's going to resist these changes the most? Especially when it comes to political things. Are there guys losing power like Wei Hai? In my books, this man was the last of the great IUD chiefs. He was an amazing fella. He was not only a chief, a great strategist when it came to war, a great strategist, he was also a witch doctor. And his reputation up in Bolivia, of the IUDs up in Bolivia, was he loved children. But he was a great, great man. He's going to be threatened. And so was his son, aspiring to be the next great chief. This man was the fellow that killed a Mennonite missionary back in 1958. Honoine was his name. And so they might be resisting the things that are coming on, the changes they're seeing. And we missionaries, we might equate it to they're just not interested in the teaching. Where that might not be the case at all. The case might be they're feeling threatened by what the changes that are coming because of your very presence there. There's a new learning procedure. The concept of reading. Wow. Interesting. We were involved in teaching literacy. Is that the way, sitting in the class, is that the way the IUDs typically learn? No, far from it. They go out and the girls do stuff with mom. The guys do stuff with dad, and that's how they learn. Not by sitting in the class. And so there's going to be new learning procedures, but things that they need to be trained. This is how you learn in a society that you're going into. So we even teach in church using pictures, using things. Unfortunately, we had several artists in our missionary team, and they could come up with some very helpful tools in teaching. And eventually, we train them as teachers. And so Cheryl is training Igisia, who you will meet later. She's the one with her back towards you, unfortunately. And Imeseam is also teachers, training them to be teachers. And eventually, they're going to be taking over the teaching. But there are going to be new learning procedures. By your very presence, this is going to be something that they will encounter that's new. How we go about learning. There's going to be a new authority. There's going to be new influences. There's going to be a change in influence. The shoes getting uncomfortable? Lots of changes by our very presence. These are what some of the tribal people go through. That if we're not aware of, we can miss and totally misinterpret. But there's going to be a change in influence. There's a new authority. That authority is a book. Okay? And when I'm teaching, when I was teaching with the Ayudes, I don't write the verses here in my, I mean, I do in my notes, but I always get the book and read it out of here. Because we want this to be the authority, not this. You know what I mean? And I know we can deal with that. But early on, they might not be able to. And so I think it's very important that we actually get the book that's been translated. And Fred and Audrey went through all kinds of trouble translating this thing. And I'm not going to use it? No, I'm going to use it. I'm going to get the book out and we're going to read right from the book. That's the authority. Is that the authority that the Ayudes are used to? Who's the authority? Their authority is the fables that the mom and dad and grandpa and grandma used to tell. That's their authority. It's not a book. Can you see the mental process these people are going to have to go through? And we need to be very patient to let them deal with these things. And not just say, oh, they're not interested. Oh, they're hard-hearted. No, that might not be the case at all. They might be struggling with some of these issues. And we need to give them some help as we can. So there's going to be a new authority. It's not what their ancestors had taught them. So the old Ayudes might be feeling threatened. They're losing control. There's going to be new ideas, or maybe we should say new reality. Because the Ayudes weren't interested in being in a right relationship with their deity, with their creator. Isn't that kind of the crux of our message? To be in a right relationship with this God that we talked about in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. We're in a wrong relationship. That's not even on the radar screen for these people. They're not even thinking along those lines. To be in a right relationship with their deity is nonsense. Until we teach slowly, carefully, through Genesis 1, on through what we call the foundation of Bible teaching or the chronological Bible teaching. Because guess what? There's new ideas. There's a new reality that's coming to Igisia. Imeseam, through this book. Their creator, the Ayudec creator, was a lizard. Being in a right relationship with that lizard, Chukwuebadi, wasn't even something that they were concerned about. What they were concerned about was this guy. It's a Bakurao. That's a bird god. We call it a night hawk or a night jar. But this bird is the one that caused all their problems. The Asoham. They had one day of the year, a religious festival, because during the winter, these birds would hibernate. Come spring, they come out of hibernation and they start chirping. That one that's kind of had COVID, so it's lost his throat. Okay? And the old men would stay up all night. They could tell when it was about time by looking at Red Eye in the sky. You know who Red Eye is? Mars. And they knew when Mars was about in the right place, it's about time for this bird to start chirping. Basically start calling. So when an old man heard that, he would go tell, let's say, Wehai. And then the men would go out in the woods that day and do their thing, and the women would stay in the village, and you had to do everything right. If everything wasn't done right during that day, you were in trouble. That's what concerned them. Not being on a right relationship with their God. Okay? There's going to be new resolution techniques, new ways of handling wrongs. The Ayudeas fought, killed each other. They were a lot like the Yanomami in the sense that there was lots of fighting in their own tribe from group to group to group, okay? Kadui's little brother, this fellow's Kadui, his little brother was even killed by their dad once. Of course, it only took once. Because he wouldn't quit crying. So he hit him upside the head with a stick and a big club and killed him. But Kadui needs to learn that there are new ways to solve problems. Because Kadui, the Ayudeas, are becoming citizens of a country with laws. And that is happening before they become citizens of heaven. So this new resolution techniques, by your presence there, they're going to be exposed to these, okay? New things that the Ayudeas are facing. The encounter with new, there's going to be a change in perspective. The missionaries went into the Ayudea territory in Paraguay, 66, 67, I believe 66. The guy standing there by the cachape, by the buggy, that's Dwayne Stiles. He was in on that. So he go mahene. And his wife, Igisia, she's the one that was sitting at the table with Cheryl that I said her back was to you. They would eventually learn that they had a new problem. The encounter with new. Now we have a new problem. Okay? And we don't go here to start with. Obviously, we teach through the foundational Bible teaching, but for our sake, we'll jump into this here. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's our problem. We've sinned. We don't meet up to the standards of God. It's a new problem. They are part of Adam's family. And this became so important for me to stress when I was teaching. We had a group that came out of the woods there in Paraguay in the late 1980s. And so I was teaching chronologically. I was good at that kind of, but I wasn't good at teaching foundationally. So I was teaching the stories in order, starting in Genesis, but I wasn't hammering home some of the key truths that they needed to know. And so Cheryl and I would talk a lot about this. Man, they're just not, something's just not going on. Something's just not happening. And so as Cheryl and I were talking, it's like, do they understand that they're sinners? Oh, okay, we're still in Genesis, but because they're part of Adam's family. So I did a review with this group of about 10, 12 people. Did a review. And then putting them in Adam's family. Not that they were just part of the Ayudea family, the Ayudea ethnic group, but they were also part of Adam's family. And the interest in that group did it like a, I almost said a 360, but then I'm kind of back where I was, wasn't I? So let's do a 180. Well, you know, it's kind of 360s in our name, Ethnos 360. So kind of did a 180. It was amazing that they were in Adam's family. And they would learn that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So they're going to also be encounter with new, they're also going to come across a new solution. Not the Asoha festival that they did once a year, but Christ offered himself. Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. And you know what? Some of these things start making sense to these people as you have taught foundationally through the Old Testament. And they understand this, introduced to and understand the sacrificial system. Otherwise, this stuff makes no sense. It makes no sense. Of course he died for us. We're Ayurdes. Why wouldn't they? Of course he died for us. We're Marus. Why wouldn't he do that for us? I mean, he was lucky. Almost, I'm serious, almost that with the Ayurdes. Almost that he got to die for us. He got the deal, the good deal, not us. See, I mean, that perspective comes to be so off. Offered once. I love that. Just once. And then he get introduced to new life. When God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. You know what? They're starting to like this new. The IUDS has struggled with a lot of new things that you brought in because of your very presence there, but they're really starting to like it. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. New life. Not living for yourself, not living for the Asohan, living for Christ. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has come. A new life has begun because of the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. And guess where they're exposed to this creating new things out of nothing early on in the teaching? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. You know what? Now I'm becoming part of that, you know, new life. Now they have a new destination, a new relationship. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. I love that phrase, at just the right time. At just the right time. Even 4 days late is just the right time. Amazing. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. Wow, they're really liking this new, aren't they? For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the new life of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. That was on our bulletin. Wow. They're liking this new, how the shoe's feeling now. How the Mayuday shoe's feeling now. And then we go to the truth, that the new concept that God wants us to be with him. Let that just kind of grab you. God wants you to be with him. He says, when everything is ready, I think that's kind of like saying, at just the right time, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. Wow. Jesus told somebody that was quite doubtful, doubting Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And eventually in the encounter with a new prayer, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. New prayer leading to a new hope. Yes. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every other morning. They are new every week. Okay, next month you'll get a new one, but just, wow, every morning. How many mornings have there been? Since time, great is your faithfulness. And so we have that new hope. We also have abounding. We also have sufficient grace. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Not trickle down. Not trickle down economics. Abound. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always have in all sufficiency in all things. may have an abundance for every good work. And then going on, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Wow. Now the challenge, a new challenge. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior Lord Jesus Christ. Grow. Grow. We don't know what 2023 is going to bring, do we? Not sure if everything is going to happen. But we do know we have new mercies. We have abounding grace. We have sufficient grace. But there's going to be plenty of times where we still need to pray this, don't we? Jesus, hold my hand. It's not that we hold his, he holds ours. He holds our hands. Well, not quite yet. And so we end with this. And the scripture gives us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently. Maybe some of us could change that to put impatiently. As we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. And when will God's promises be fulfilled? At just the right time. When I have everything ready. And so the encounter with new. Just some broad strokes of the IUDs and things that they face, things that we gotta help them work through, don't we? Praise God for the people that helped us, helped work us through some of these things. Let's close in prayer. God, you are so good. And we wonder how people miss it. But then we remember we also have a strong enemy. Sometimes that enemy is ourselves. We know we have the devil, the flesh, all these things working against us. We have so much working for us. We have your word from an everlasting God, from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. Help us to remember that. Thank you that we have abounding grace. We have new mercies. We are so blessed. Help us to live in the joy of those blessings we pray. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.